Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you're having a great morning. Pastor Jeff here. And I wanted to start the program off with a very famous quote. It's the quote from Paul Revere on his midnight ride. Paul Revere was a silversmith in Boston, and he made the famous midnight ride to warn the colonists about the British troops. That was on April 18th, 1775. And as he rode through the towns, he declared this: "The British are coming, the British are coming." He needed to wake everybody up and get them ready for the battle. Well, the British aren't coming, but the commies are coming. I was looking through Twitter just yesterday, and I saw a relatively old clip from Christopher Hitchens, atheist Christopher Hitchens. He's dead now, so he's no longer an atheist. But he made a statement that warned the West about what was coming and the need for the West to fight an ideology that's going to put us in chains, so to speak, the chains of communism. This is what he had to say, and I believe it was a debate he was doing with Dr. John Lennox.
Give it up or give it to your deadliest enemy and pay for the rope that will choke you. This is very urgent business, ladies and gentlemen, I beseech you. Resist it while you still can, and before the right to complain is taken away from you, which will be the next thing, you will be told you can't complain because you're Islamophobic. The term is already being introduced into the culture as if it was an accusation of race hatred, for example, or bigotry, whereas it's only the objection to the preachings of a very extreme and absolutist religion. Watch out for these symptoms. They are not just symptoms of surrender, very often ecumenically offered to you by men of God in other robes, Christian and Jewish and smarmy ecumenical. These are the ones who will hold open the gates for the barbarians. The barbarians never take a city till someone holds the gates open for them. And it's your own preachers who will do it for you, and your own multicultural authorities who will do it for you. Resist it while you can. And if you wonder what will happen if you don't, look and see how a cricket team in Middlesex in England had to change its name by force last week because it was called and had been for years the Middlesex Crusaders. Look and see how stories about little pigs can't be taught to children in English schools anymore, lest offense be taken by the religion of peace. Resist it while you can.
So that was Christopher Hitchens. Obviously, he was talking about Islam and sweeping into Europe and then warning the West, hey, that's coming to you. And so whether it's Islam or whether it's communism, full-blown communism, you know, that was the big issue way back when, and people were very concerned about it as we had the Cold War between Russia and the United States, and communism was a big deal, and Cuba fell to communism. We've had Venezuela fall to communism. Communism always takes something good and makes it horrible. You just look at the lives of people in communistic countries, they're terrible. I saw one lady from North Korea. She said, you know, they promised us how everything was going to be free and it was going to be wonderful and you weren't going to have to worry about anything anymore. And so we vote accordingly for those free things. There is nothing free. As Adrian Rogers once said, for someone to get something free, it's because somebody else worked and they didn't get the money from their labor and went to somebody else. And nothing's free. You've heard the expression, there is no free lunch. Somebody's paying for it. And as was stated, I don't know who came up with this, but said the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money. And when you do, then all these freebies go away. And then what you're left with is a totalitarian regime, much like what you have in North Korea. And it's awful, awful for the masses. So you may be familiar with this. I ran across this a few years ago. It was 45 communist goals from 58 years ago. Now, this is an article by EthanAllen.org. Tom Licata is the author, and he posted this July 2021, and he was talking about Black Lives Matter and critical race theory. It's all rooted in Marxism, and it's poison. It's just deadly. And he said communism's 45 goals were read into the congressional record by Congressman Albert Herlong Jr., a Democrat from Florida, in 1963. These goals were gleaned from the testimony given to Congress by scholars and from the writings of current or former communists. Socialism is seen as the bridge between capitalism and communism. The major difference between socialism and communism is the method of takeover. Socialism and progressivism believes that it can centralize all control of the individual, land, and industry by peaceful but gradual legislation, whereas communism seeks a violent and final confrontation to eliminate all dissension to achieve its utopian goal of a stateless and classless society. He goes on to say this, but make no mistake, what is the same in all these ideologies, these three ideologies, is the desire to seize monolithic control of society. Mussolini termed this the totalitarian society. Everything in the state, nothing outside the state, nothing against the state. So what does Christopher Hitchens say about these ideologies that are evil, whether it be Islamic Sharia law or communism coming in through the slippery slope of socialism? And as one man told me, he said, we're not talking about socialism like Venezuela. We're talking about democratic socialism. You know, Bernie Sanders was a socialist, out-and-out socialist candidate just a election ago. And it's like, yeah, it's going to be so wonderful. Well, here are the 45 communist goals from 1963. We've known about these for a long time. See how many of these, and I'm not going to go through all 45, but see how many of these are just commonplace in America. Capture one, number one, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. I think one has been definitely captured. Number two, get control of the schools and teachers' associations, soften the curriculum, check. Number three, gain control of all student newspapers, check. Number four, infiltrate the press, check, check, check. Number five, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and pictures, check, check, check. Number six, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them, quote, censorship, unquote, and a violation of free speech and press. Number seven, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in the media. We have that in spades. That's part of Romans chapter 1. God gives you over to sexual immorality and homosexuality. And that's leads to number eight. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as, quote, normal, natural, and healthy, unquote. Well, we see that everywhere we go. I mean, it's just on almost in influenced or introduced in every television show that you would watch, every streaming movie or something that you would watch. You're going to have homosexuality presented as normal, natural, and healthy. Number nine, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. Discredit the Constitution, calling it inadequate and old-fashioned. Discredit the American founding fathers as selfish aristocrats and racists. Belittle American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Infiltrate and gain control of big business and unions. Transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as mental health or social problems. Have you noticed how much we talk about mental health issues? I mean, that 25 years ago, we didn't talk about that like we do today. Well, so much mental health, so much mental health. Well, people have been drinking the poison of the ideology of this world. But also the devil is involved in this. You know, drugs are the gateway into demonic activity. And people who give themselves over to crystal meth and fentanyl and other things like that, I mean, you're just opening the door for the enemy. And when the enemy comes in and he starts to oppress or possess, you talk about mental disease. It's going to be there in spades. But the problem is not, quote unquote, just mental health. It's going to be demonic activity. Discredit the family. How about this one? Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Boy, we're seeing that today. We're saying that California is pushing that hard. That's just 18 or 19 of those that he lists. And then he goes on to say this. Let me pull this up here. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. And then he goes on from there. That 45 communist goals from 1963, read into the congressional record. And we see those infiltrating our country. I mean, they're just clear as day. So what can we do? Well, I think about Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah was called by God to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the wall. The wall had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in 586 BC. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They broke down the wall. They destroyed Solomon's beautiful temple. They burned everything with fire. It was awful. And the city of Jerusalem couldn't flourish because it didn't have a wall around it. Think about how it would be at your house if you didn't have doors. You have no front door, no back door. Everything's just open. Well, you wouldn't feel very safe in a place like that. Well, the people didn't feel very safe. You can't defend a city that doesn't have walls. And so Nehemiah was sent by God to rebuild the wall. And the enemies, the Samaritan enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah and others of the surrounding areas, they didn't like the fact that Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall. They were making fun of the wall. They were ridiculing the workers, and then they threatened them harm. And Nehemiah says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 11, our enemies said they will not know or see until we come again among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against you from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. And when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, if we put it in New Testament terms. Remember the Lord. Look to Him. and fight. Stand up and fight. Now, they were to fight physically if they were going to be attacked. What does a Christian do today? We stand up and fight. We fight on our knees in prayer. And we fight for what is right. We speak the truth in love. We suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We don't keep silent. We stand up and speak up regardless of the consequences. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We started the program off with that famous statement by Paul Revere in his Midnight Ride, April 18th, 1775. The British are coming. The British are coming. Well, I changed that a little bit and said the communists are coming. The communists are coming. And indeed, the communists are already here. And it was said 60 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, that America would be toppled without a shot because communists will just infiltrate and take over. Communism would do that in ideology and in the schools and poisoning the minds of younger people to believe lies. And it's all really, it just comes from the enemy of our souls. The Jesus said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so he is working. He's the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. He's working in the sons of disobedience. And what is he pushing for? He doesn't like the American dream. He doesn't like a capitalistic system. He likes a dictatorship. He likes a totalitarian government with one person in charge. Who's that one person that he wants to put in charge? The Antichrist, who is going to be Satan in the flesh. And that's what all this is leading toward. God, the devil's man of sin, his man of lawlessness, he is going to come on the scene. And so American individualism and the idea that you can have personal property and you can achieve and you can get ahead and without all these restrictions, how it was set up initially by our founding fathers, it's not an inspired document, the U.S. Constitution, but no doubt it was influenced by the Lord and by Christian principles, and many of the founding fathers were sold-out believers. They paid dearly for what they did in breaking America away from Great Britain, but That stands in the way of the devil wanting to push through his man of sin. And so there's an attack on the American way of life, and it is coming in like a flood. And this is what's so amazing. You know, we talk about the election coming up. We have people that don't really consider what their vote does. Barack Obama was famous for saying, hey, elections matter, and they do. Now, our hope is not in the White House. It's not in Congress. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we, as God's children, we cry out to him and pray to him, and he is he's able to do anything. Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? And the answer is no. God can do anything, and God can turn around any situation. You know, when it looked like Judah was going to be destroyed and you had 185,000 Assyrians camped against Israel to destroy them, and the angel of the Lord went out the night before the battle and killed all of them, 185,000. I like how the scripture says it. When they arose in the morning, they were all dead. And, you know, God can do anything. And so he is the God of hope. We don't lose hope. But we do need to sound the alarm, as atheist Christopher Hitchens was saying. You have to fight. If you don't fight, you will lose your opportunity. The window to stand up for truth is closing in terms of really making a difference. As you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the lone voices in Nazi Germany, And Eric Metaxas, you know, wrote that seminal work on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and this just expressing his life. And then he wrote Letter to the American Church, and he's saying, hey, this is history's a broken record, and what we see, what we saw in past history in the days of Hitler coming to power, we see that today. And if we don't stand up, especially as preachers, if we don't stand up and speak up, stand up to be counted and call people out for sinful ideologies, then we are going to slit our own throats. We're going to cook our own goose, so to speak, and we're going to lose all those freedoms, and we're not going to be able to successfully pass the baton of freedom of religion in America to the next generation. We'll lose all that. And that's a sad, sad thing. So we have to do what Nehemiah said do to his people, Nehemiah 4:14, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Now, that doesn't mean I'm talking about going and physically assaulting people. That's not the kind of fighting that we do as Christians. As the song says, and when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And so here's what the scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Communism, Islam is a lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of the true God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So the weapons of our warfare, God has given us the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that is a weapon. Now, we have the armor of God, and the only offensive weapon in the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit and prayer. Prayer is another offensive weapon. And so as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil and resist in the evil day. So we gird our loins with truth, hold everything together with truth. The truth is what sets people free. And if you're not living a life of truthfulness, if you're living a duplicitous life, you're not going to be held together with that. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So gird your loins with truth. Get your life in the light. Deal with sins that you're struggling with. Bring those into the light. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with him, fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's the first thing. He says, gird your loins with truth. And put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, he's not talking about your righteousness. He's talking about the Lord's righteousness. It's an imputed righteousness when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And when we walk in the light, then we live a life that is righteous. We are holy as he himself is holy. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have to remind ourselves, hey, what is my purpose here on this earth? It's to be the witness for the Lord that he wants me to be, and put on every day the shoes of the gospel of peace. And the good news brings peace, peace with God and the peace of God. In addition to all, he says, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And so there you have the armor of God, the weapons of our warfare, the Word of God and prayer, the shield of faith, with which we can extinguish all the flaming missiles, all those fiery darts of the evil one. The Lord says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so, as the scripture says, we walk by faith and not by sight. But here's the thing. You have to engage. You can't just sit this one out. I had somebody on Twitter, people hate Donald Trump. I mean, it's crazy. Kevin Sorbo had a post the other day on X, and he said, do you really hate one man so much that you would sacrifice the whole country for that hatred? I mean, think it through. When you look at the choice that we have for president, I posted on X just the other day. I said, well, here's the choice, because some guy was giving me grief about something. You know, they always, well, Trump's terrible. Trump did this. Trump did that. I'd never vote for that guy. And it's like, okay, well, that's your business. I'm not lord over your vote. But here's the thing. You have a choice. You can not vote. And that's really not a choice for a Christian, because Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's. Caesar is our government, and our government is calling for our vote. Why are millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on all these advertisements? Because they want your vote, and our government wants you to vote. Now, obviously, Democrats want you to vote Democrat or not vote. Republicans want you to vote Republican or not vote. But both sides are courting your vote, and Caesar wants your vote. So the idea that I can just sit this one out, I think you have a hard time justifying that before the Lord. Yeah, Lord, I didn't want to get involved, there wasn't a good candidate. Jesus wasn't on the ballot. The Apostle Paul wasn't on the ballot, so I just didn't vote. Well, Jesus is never on the ballot. The Apostle Paul is never on the ballot. You have two, as we go down the road in the American experiment, we're losing the integrity that we once had 200 plus years ago. And so the quality of the candidate becomes less and less and less. And more compromise is, you know, infiltrated into the whole system and the whole machinery. So, okay, we have two candidates, two political parties. You have to look at the platform. You look at what they stand for. You look at how they governed before. But you don't just blindly say, well, I hate this guy, so I'm going to vote for this other guy, this other person. Look to see what that person stands for. Look to see what you're voting for. Because if you allow your hatred for one man to determine the direction of the country, that would be a terrible direction. You're going to pay for that. We're going to pay for that. Your kids, grandkids, my kids, my grandkids, we're going to pay for that. And elections do have consequences. So you have an option, not vote. You have an option, vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. You have an option, vote for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. You have an option, vote for some third party, some write-in. Well, voting for a write-in, obviously that person is not going to win. And as Tim Wildman said just the other day on Jenna Ellis's program, it's either going to be Trump-Vance or it's going to be Harris-Walz. That's just what we have. They have an either or, and one party is going to govern in a particular way, and the other party is going to govern in a very, very different way. And not to beat a dead horse, but how do you know what you're going to get? Was it based on rhetoric? Well, politicians are known to promise the moon and deliver the fence post. I mean, they make these grandiose promises. This is, oh, it's going to be so wonderful if you vote for me. Well, look and see what they did when they were in charge. Trump governed from 2017. He's, you know, voted into office and took the reins. How were things? How did he do? You look at it. Was he a dictator? Did he turn into Adolf Hitler? No. He didn't do any of that. He governed, as Bill O'Reilly said, he governed very responsibly. Well, Kamala Harris, you said, well, she's never been the president. Well, she's vice president, and our current president is not hitting on all eight cylinders. I think any of us would have to say that's the case. That's why he dropped out. He was pushed out. They said he couldn't win, so we're pushing him out the door. But she has tremendous influence. And if she wants to make things better on day one, make things better today. You don't have to wait for January 20th. Do it today. You are in the White House. You are not president, but you are vice president, and the president is stepping out of the way so that you can be, as they hope, the president. So make things better for Americans starting today. And if you don't do that, that's a good indicator of what we can expect from you if you get in on January 20th. It's going to be the same old, you know, talk is cheap. What matters are the results, and the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony. We always benefit from hearing from our listeners. So pick up the phone and give me a call. We have a 3-minute break, but then we will be coming back. And let me just say this, too. I want to kind of pique your curiosity. There's a brand new movie coming out from American Family Association, Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And you can go to culturewarrior.movie to find out more. It's the story of Don Wildman and how God used one man to make such a difference. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about fighting for what is right. Remember the Lord, as Nehemiah said. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight. And your job, my job, is to be a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. As my friend, historian Bill Federer says, hey, the most important thing for us to do is share the gospel. The second most important thing for us to do is make sure that the freedoms are in place for us to share the gospel. And that requires us to get involved in the government of the United States of America and the political process, because that is going to ensure freedoms that we don't want to see just slip through our fingers. We need to fight for those things because they are important. And sitting it out and just sitting on the sidelines, as Eric Metaxas said they did in Germany, so many of the pastors just said, well, I'm just going to sit this one out. That allowed Hitler to get into power, and he took all their freedoms away. And as Christopher Hitchens, atheist Christopher Hitchens, former atheist, I should say, because he died, and now he knows that God is real. He said, you have to fight, because there's coming a day. If you don't fight when the window of opportunity is open, that window will close, and you'll have nobody to blame but yourself. And so at American Family Association, American Family Radio, we want to awaken the church, so to speak, to say, hey, remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your sons, your daughters, your families, your homes, for the freedoms that we have in America. And we don't fight. We're not talking about taking up arms and going and attacking someone. We're talking about standing up for the truth, being willing to take the shots in, you know, however that comes, as we stand up for the truth. It could be an attack on social media. It could be somebody trying to take away your job. It could be somebody trying to take away your freedom and incarcerate you, as we talked yesterday about that man in Ireland that was arrested because he wouldn't knuckle under to the transgender insanity. And they arrested him for that, and they're going to try him for that. And he's incarcerated, to my knowledge, still incarcerated today. So we have to be willing to stand up and speak up for the Lord regardless of the consequences, because the stakes are that high. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you, and we have Corey on the line from Texas. Corey, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Thanks for letting me come on here, and thank you for standing, using your platform to stand up for truth. I really appreciate you. My family does, and we look forward to coming out to Texarkana one day to visit your church.
Hey, that'd be great.
But yeah, I just wanted to make a couple quick comments. Number one, before I forget, I took my 13-year-old to go see Reagan, the movie that just came out over the weekend, and it was absolutely phenomenal. Even my 13-year-old said that was a 10 out of 10, Dad. I just want to encourage everyone listening to please take your kids to go see Reagan. Encourage everyone to go see it. The parallels of what they were dealing with 40 years ago with these same radical Marxist leftists is the same thing we're dealing with today. They've just made more progress. That's the only difference.
Mm.
But I just wanted to make a quick comment regarding the Trump versus Harris ticket you were referring to, is that I believe there's way more support for Trump then obviously the media leads on. Number one, you have a lot more people becoming outspoken about their support for Trump who in times past were not. Secondly, you still have a lot of closet Trump supporters. So I just want to encourage people to keep your head high, be bold, don't give in to the lies of the media. And when speaking with someone who has bought into the propaganda that the media is putting out about Trump, just encourage them to think for themselves and say, okay, if you never heard the news, you never heard any bad thing or good thing about either candidate, and you're purely looking at results, you're just looking at what they did, essentially what you were talking about a little bit ago,
mm-hmm.
When were you better off? Were you better between 2016 and 2020 or 2020 and 2024? And just give them a moment to think that through.
Yeah, that's very good, Corey. You know, one of the things about Trump that's very admirable, he comes into office and he loses so much money during that time period. He was the media darling before he threw his hat in the ring in the 2016 election. Everybody seemed to love him. The liberals loved him. And, you know, they're courting Trump for this, that, and the other. And then he becomes a candidate. They hate his guts. and he loses a lot of his personal wealth. You have these other people, lifetime politicians. How does Joe Biden become a multi-millionaire on a government salary? That doesn't happen unless you're leveraging that in certain ways that, you know, allegedly he did. It sure looks like, from the evidence that I've seen, sure looks like that alleged accusation is true. But, you know, in our country, it depends on which side of the aisle you're on. If you're on the left side of the aisle, it seems you get a pass. If you're on the right side of the aisle, you're going to get blistered. So, you know, the Lord is the righteous judge, and nobody gets away with sin. But it is telling that that he lost money, and these other politicians make all kinds of money. Obama's very, very wealthy, and that's, to me, that's a indicator that one is serving the people and the other is not. Well, thank you, Corey. And I have not seen Reagan yet, but I need to go see that. I appreciate you giving a good plug for that. Well, we have Preston on the line from Iowa. Preston, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So my question for you is let's see, you know, so I'm pretty young. I'm just only 21 years old. I live in small town Iowa, work in a blue collar field. I guess it's safe to say I don't really see a whole lot of the mainstream craziness, yeah. At least not right now. And but I love my country. I hate to see, you know, how far it's drifted away, you know, from what our founding fathers believed.
Right.
But I love it. And other than voting and praying for it, I was just wondering if you had any insight on some practical ways to get in the fight and, yeah, take our country back.
Yeah, very good, Preston. I appreciate your call. And so, yeah, prayer is huge. Obviously, getting involved in the political process and from the local, you know, on up the chain. And so school boards and things like that to make sure that you have people on the school boards that will be committed to teaching in the public schools, making sure the public schools are teaching reading and writing and arithmetic and leaving out all the insane you know, agenda that's coming in through the LGBTQIA plus ideology. So those things are important. And, you know, looking for opportunities to stand up and speak up, you know, on social media, that's as one man said, you know, social media is kind of the new public square. And many, many people are on social media, whether it's Facebook or whether it's X or something like that, Instagram, and to stand up and be counted, to repost things that are solid and biblical and true, and to be willing to stand up for those things. You can get a lot of people upset at you when you do that. But that's one way to make a difference. And just ask the Lord too. Lord, how can I do this? Well, show me what is an opportunity where I can really stand up and speak up for what is right, what is true, what is honorable, what is just. And God will show you that. You know, the Lord, He is willing to do great and mighty things in our lives if we're willing to seek Him. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory. So, and I also, you, Preston, you can check with American Family Association and see what are some areas that they would say as a organization that's committed to godliness and a biblical worldview, because there might be some things in your area that they know about that I don't know about. So appreciate that, my friend. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for your heart for the Lord and for this country. Well, we have Peter on the line from Texas. Peter, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I have a comment on all the illegals that are coming here, and they're saying 7 million, and I'm like, there's no way. All the buses and midnight flights, it's ridiculous. My guesstimation is over 20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to, with them trying to get them to vote, it's discouraging.
Yes, it is. But we know that, as we think about Gideon, he went up against the Midianites and he had 32,000 against 135,000. And God says, you have too many. And he thinned out the herd down to 22,000 left. And then he thinned out the herd. Finally got him to 300 versus 135,000. And the Lord gave the victory. So even though we see all those things, Peter, we can know that the Lord can give the victory. He doesn't need very many. He doesn't need any of us. He can do it by himself. That one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians when they came up against his people. So we just have to look to him. We have to be faithful to do what he's called us to do. I think for a lot of us, we have to think about Esther. She had her moment. Mordecai told her, who knows if you did not attain royalty for such a time as this. And if you remain quiet, God's going to bring deliverance by some other means through some other person. You have an opportunity to stand up, step up, and be counted, because the Lord is not dependent on you. You're dependent upon him. And we can be included in a great victory for the Lord, or we can be bypassed. And so I think that the more we think about it in those terms, and the more we pray in the morning, Lord, what do you want to do today in me to make a difference? I agree with you completely. I think that there are way more than the 8 million that they're saying. And it seems like the end game is to let all these people in and then give them citizenship so they can vote. And we pay them off, so to speak, with all these freebies. And, California now is giving them up to $150,000 toward buying their first home. It's just sickening. And it's just wrong on so many levels. I saw yesterday, I think, on X that 75% of the crimes taking place, I believe, is in New York, were from people that came in illegally. And there are Venezuelans and others that came in. And Trump got skewered for saying, hey, these other countries are not sending us the cream of their crop. They're opening their prisons and saying, here, go to America. And that's not the formula for law and order. It's not the formula for safety. And the people that get hurt are women and children and the vulnerable and people that live in areas where it's very, very dangerous. Because, the idea defund the police and we hate the police and the police better not come in here. Well, you turn our country into the old movie with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, where it just becomes a free-for-all. And it's a dangerous place to live. So I appreciate your call. I think you make a great point. So we just need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and do what he's called us to do. We have Sherry on the line from Illinois. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning and shalom to you. I just want to say I've gone door to door. I've talked to my neighbors, and some of them who would normally you would think be conservative and love our country have said, honestly, they just can't vote for Donald Trump. They just don't like him. They think he's a terrible person. And really what it comes down to is we are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. Our government, our rights come from God, not government. And so small government, that's why I vote Republican. And they're deceived, and it's very sad, and we need to pray for them. You can also be an election judge or a poll watcher. And October in Rock Island County, Illinois, is when you have to have your petitions into the clerk's office. So if you're considering or know people who will run for office and be candidates, that's a big part of it with a worldview. It's our country. You are we the people. So get involved. Take a role in your country and your citizenship.
Great word, Sherry. Thank you. That's so true. And Preston, that might be one way also to get involved is to volunteer to be a poll watcher and to be involved in the election process that way. Well, just to let you know, if you'll type into a search of 45 communist goals, I was on ethanallen.org. That's where they had the 45 communist goals from 58 years ago. But even if you just do a search, 45 communist goals, 1963, you can get those and take a look at those for yourself. Well, I'm sorry, Nancy, Angela, and Mark, we didn't get to you. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Love to help answer any questions that you may have. And thank you so much for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.